بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد one of the verses that we recited today is ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض ولكن ينزل بقدر ما يشاء إنه بعباده لخبير بصير. Allah عز وجل says if we had opened up the doors of our rizq, if we had given our sustenance to our servants, لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ, they would have gone beyond the measure. They would have gone to a level of haram. They would have done something that they should not do. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. Instead, Allah reveals with His qadr as much as He wants to whomever He pleases. Now this verse tells us a very interesting reality. Allah gives those whom He loves just enough for them to not go beyond the bounds. Allah is saying, I know how much you're capable of. And if I were to give you everything, then you would go beyond what is halal, what is permissible for you. And this same sentiment is demonstrated in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, it is narrated that the Prophet was giving someone money, or he was giving a group of people money. One of the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you give so and so? For wallahi, I think he's a mu'min, he's a good guy, give it to him. And the Prophet ignored him. And he kept on giving to other people. Second time the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, give to him, for wallahi, I think he's a mu'min. And he ignored him for a second time. A third time he ignored him. And then our Prophet ﷺ turned and said to him, Oh so and so, sometimes I give money to people and I don't give to those whom I love more, i.e. the beloved I don't give to, out of a fear that that money will be a temptation that will drag them into Jahannam. In other words, our Prophet ﷺ knows the people. And he is saying, what you're saying about this man might be right. He's a mu'min, he's a good guy. But he doesn't have that type of, if you like, patience with money. That he might do something that is not appropriate with that money. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, what we learn from this ayah and from this hadith is very simple. And that is, what we do not have, and we tried to get it, we didn't get it, we should be content that Allah has a plan, that Allah knows how much He's giving. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah reveals with His qadr as much as He pleases. So Allah Azza wa Jal knows who to give what to, and why He has given that person. In the end of the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same fact, but this time about children. Allah says in the Quran, He is the one who blesses with children. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثٌ. To some He gives all daughters. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. To some He gives all men, all boys. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. And some families they have boys and girls. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And some people have no children. إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ قَدِيرٌ. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows who to give what to. And Allah knows how much to give. And Allah knows who to test people with. And therefore the believer who believes in qadr, one of the main benefits of believing in qadr is that you feel a contentment of the heart. Whatever has happened because of qadr. As I said many times, qadr is used to calm down and to find release from a calamity. And qadr is not used to justify a sin. Qadr is used to find peace in whatever Allah has decreed. You didn't get the job, qaddar Allah. You didn't make the million that you were looking to get from the business, qaddar Allah. You didn't have this, you didn't get that. You tried, you made dua to Allah, you didn't get it. Now the point is you have to try. If you didn't try, then that's your problem. But you have to try. You want the job, you want the business, you want to get married. You try. If it doesn't happen, that's when we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ. And also realize, my dear brothers and sisters, there is a great wisdom in people having different talents, different money, different passions. This is how society functions. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ. He is the one who has made you خَلَائِف. And خَلَائِف here means to take over after another generation. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. So that groups amongst you can take the services of other groups. In other words, some of you have one talent, another has another talent. The doctor needs the car mechanic needs the doctor. The shoe repairer, right? needs everybody else in society, and society needs him as well. لِيَتَخِذَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا, so that groups amongst you can take the services of the other groups. He is the one, وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ, he is the one who has raised some of you above others. Why? So that each group can take advantage of the other. If everybody was the same profession or had the same income level, society would not function. Society functions when there's this variety, when there's this diversity, when there's these differences. And this is what Allah is saying, I know what I am doing. So be content with what you have been given. And the final point, time today is tight. The final point that I'll mention, the famous hadith that relates to this point, that our Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you sees someone whom you think has been blessed over you in money or in health or in wealth or in looks, then look to somebody whom you have been blessed over. Look to somebody whom you are better than and who has less than you. And that is going to be better for our iman and our taqwa. One of our problems of this society is that it wants to emphasize the rich and the famous and the elite. It wants to emphasize the multi-billionaires. There are programs on TV, the lifestyles of, you know, these people, and they show their cars and their mansions and everything. And this will cause us to salivate and want to be like them. But subhanAllah, the minute you look at those who are deprived, the minute you look at those who don't even have food to eat, proper meals, all of a sudden it puts things into perspective. I know there's even a social media hashtag for this, first world problems. You know, there's this running joke about first world problems being something so trivial compared to other problems in the world. And this is an Islamic reality. We should not be looking to those who have more than us, because then we're going to feel deprived. Rather, we should concentrate on those who have less than us. It is an Islamic principle to look at those who have less than us, so that we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we can feel content. Because in the end of the day, there is no winning the rat race. You know this hadith that I just quoted in Bukhari, that our Prophet ﷺ said, if you look at somebody above you, then look at someone whom you have been placed above, who has been given less than you. Look at it. You are above many people, but you're not looking at them. You're looking at those whom you think are above you. Guess what? Those whom you think are above you are not looking at you. They're looking at those who they think are above them. And if you keep on trying to do this, everybody is going to be dissatisfied. Everybody's going to be unhappy. Rather than looking at a goal you can never get, because in the end of the day, nobody is content with where they are unless they have iman. Nobody is happy with where they are in that ladder unless they have iman. So even the one that you're jealous of, guess what? Billions of people in the world are jealous of you because you have a roof over your head. Because you live in a place where there's no civil war. Because you have meal, your fridge is full. You don't even have to worry about food and drink and water. Billions of people are jealous that your children don't have to worry about their meal for the next day. Rather than concentrate on that 0.0001% that have that lifestyle above you, look at the bulk of the people that do not even have that. And then all of a sudden, things will be put into perspective. And you will feel generous. You will feel thankful. You're not going to feel greedy. You will feel generous because you realize, I have so much. But if you keep on looking at the ones above you, you're going to feel, I don't have enough. I want more. I want more. And you're never going to be happy. When a man came to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a hard heart. What can I do? I have a hard heart. He gave him some advice. And one of the pieces of advice he said is that go to the yatim, go to the orphan and stroke the hair of the orphan. Now that's a beautiful hadith. Why? Because when you go to the orphan, you go to the house of the orphan, you see how the orphan is living. Are you going to have a hard heart? Are you ever going to have a hard heart after that? You see the reality. So this is not, and this is, I have to say this, one of the biggest problems we have, unfortunately, when it comes to Islamic zakat, we just write the check and we send it. That's good to write a check and send it, but even better to see the effects of that money. To see where it's going, to see the lives we've changed. And wallahi, I encourage every one of you, at least one or two projects you should take charge of. Yes, I understand we have a large amount of zakah, we cannot take charge of all of it. But at least one project, find a family that needs the money, that you can see the impact directly. Find a family, a widow, an orphan. Find someone that you can actually impact one-on-one. And that is going to bring the softness to your heart. As our Prophet ﷺ said to this man who complained of the hard heart, he said, go find a yatim and stroke his hair. Meaning what? Give him physical comfort free. It doesn't cost any money to find an orphan and embrace him, stroke his hair, make him feel loved. That doesn't cost any money. But what's going to happen to your heart? Your heart will feel that softness, that kindness. And an anecdote with this, I conclude. One of my very good friends who goes and is involved in fundraising. And I never forget this story because he's like one of us. I mean, I consider myself middle class. Most of us are middle class. And alhamdulillah, for most of us, we have never ever had to worry about going to sleep hungry, not knowing how we're going to feed our kids, not knowing where water will come from, not knowing where to the food. This is alhamdulillah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brother of a friend of mine, he's involved in fundraisers. And recently he went to a certain country in the Muslim world that is extremely deprived and has, you know, problems with food and drink and water. And subhanAllah, they were literally starving. This country starving. There's a massive famine going on. And he spent 2 weeks over there. He came back to me and he said, you know, the one thing that really I cannot get out of my head, every time I sit down to eat food after that trip, I keep on getting images of those children and those people that didn't even have food for days and weeks. And he told me for 4 months, I could not even finish a meal on my own plate after I came back, because those images kept on haunting me. For 4 months, I couldn't even eat a full plate of food. SubhanAllah, I was thinking one trip caused him to change so much that it made him so much more motivated to go and help those people. Wallahi, it is a blessing from Allah that we don't have to deal with that. This goes back to the ayah that we quoted, that Allah knows who He's giving how much to. Thank Allah for what you have. Thank Allah for what you have, because wallahi, if you have, as our Prophet ﷺ said, I keep on thinking of other hadith over here, that whoever wakes up mu'afan fi jasadihi, not having any problems in his day, right? عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ, he has enough food for the day, for him and his family. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا, it is as if this whole world has been given to him with all of its blessings. If you wake up in the morning with life and energy, and you have good health, and you have food for the day, our Prophet ﷺ said, it's as if this whole world has been given to you. Wallahi, most of us, we have that every single day. And yet we still think greedy, greedy, more, more, more. SubhanAllah, there is no more. Thank Allah for what we have. Be generous with what we have, and Allah will give you more and more. And the ultimate richness comes from the richness of being happy and content with what we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.